Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, I'll have a conversation with some people in the food world I think you'll want to know more about. They are coming to us from Pincho, a kebab and burger restaurant that is based in Miami but is rapidly expanding in the Houston area. Gentlemen, let me introduce you separately so people can hear your voices. He is the co-founder and CEO, Otto Othman. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Eric? Thanks, man. Great. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you're here. He is the director of culinary, Adrian Sanchez. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Eric? Thank you for having us on. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Otto, let me just start with you. I mean, you're the founder. Whenever someone comes on the show for the first time, I always kind of like to start at the beginning of their career. So just tell me a little bit about how you got interested in the food world and how you, got to a point where you opened a restaurant.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, first of all, thanks for having both of us on the podcast. Very honored to be here. So yeah, man, I mean, a pretty wild story. I was born and raised in Brazil. My parents are Palestinian and Middle Eastern. They migrated to Brazil when my dad was like 17 or so. I was born and raised there, but I lived around the world mainly because my dad was just trying to find, the next thing that he was going to do with his life. And we landed in Miami in 2001, I believe, 2000 or 2001. And, we came here, typical Middle Eastern family, open up a bodega, grocery store in Hialeah, Florida, out of all places, predominantly Cuban neighborhood, so I had to learn Spanish, which I now speak like a Cuban, actually, more than my friends. And my friends tasted my mom's skewer recipe, right? In Brazil, we call them espetinhos, right? We say kebab, but it's not really a Middle Eastern kebab. It's just the easiest way to explain it to people. But it's basically it's a meat on a stick. It's a grilled skewer. And therefore, that's what pincho means, right? So my friends fell in love with the recipe. And they're like, hey, this was amazing. And I was like, really? I was like, you guys have never had these flavors before? Because it's not like this Middle Eastern flavor. It's like a Brazilian South American flavor. And I thought, the Hispanic community would have tasted some of that that type of seasoning. And they said, no, absolutely not. So, 1 week later, they called me and they were like, hey, is it okay if we go to Publix? Publix is our version of HEB here in Florida. And then they're like, hey, can we buy like 2-3 pounds of steak and take it to your house? And can your mom like just cut it up and season it and skewer it? And I'm like, and grill it? And they're like, no, not grill it. It's like, just skewer it because we want to grill it at our party. And that was the beginning of me knowing that, okay, there's something here because it became a thing. And everybody would call my house every now and then. And then everybody knew that my family recipe for these grilled skewers were a thing. And then, fast forward, I didn't do anything about it back then. I was 16, 17. I went to college, did my thing, and I was working in advertising. I was a creative director at a big global ad agency. I was doing a lot of exciting work for brands like Fiat, Chrysler, Twix, M&M. That was my life. I was creating campaigns, having a lot of fun. And on the 4th of July barbecue, with my co-founder Nadal at the time, we were grilling and talking, and the idea came about, and I said, hey, I'd love to open a restaurant selling my mom's grilled skewer recipe. Are you down? And he was down. And then 2-3 days later, we went for it. We that's the beginning.
Right. That's always the moment that strikes me. It's like, yeah, I have a stable corporate job working for some of the biggest brands in the world. I'm going to throw all that away to sell skewers.
Yeah. Well, you should have been there when I told my parents. That's what I was doing. my dad's like, wait, you're meaning I left my entire life and immigrated to America to make sure that you go to college and get a corporate job. And now you're telling me you want to sell what? I was like, Dad, trust me. I think I know what I'm doing here. And he's like, dude, it's like, this is nuts. You're going to give up your career for this? So I did it. I kept my job for the first 2 years until I was like 100% sure. Nadal and his wife at the time ran the day-to-day, and Adrian joined them like in year one. But I think right around year three, when we knew we had a business, I quit my job and I went from making great money to $0 for 2 years.
So, yeah, it's the old joke. Do you know how to make a little money in the restaurant business?
Yeah.
Start with a lot of money. That's the old
joke. Start with a lot of money. Yeah, there you go.
All right, Adrian, how about you? How did you How did you become a chef and make your way to Pinchot?
So it's actually interesting. For me, cooking was always a hobby, right? It was about fun. I'm first generation American in a Hispanic family. You go to college or else. So it was always, go to college, go through the corporate America ladder and everything. So as far as owning a restaurant, that was always the last thing on my list, right? To me, it was like, okay, I'm gonna have my career and I'll retire and open up my little restaurant, and that's pretty much it. In my family, cooking was number one, right? We had the matriarchs that would always, be in the kitchen and everything. And I kind of like took to the food and everything. My mom, I remember she was making burgers one day, and I'm running around with my brother, you're causing havoc, and she's like, "All right, you need to calm down here. Mix this for me." And as soon as I grabbed it and I started mixing the burgers, I was like, "Hey, this is amazing. I want to do this. I love this. What else can I do?" So little by little, my family had the Cuban side, right? So I said, I'm gonna explore everything else. I wanna explore, French cuisine and Mexican cuisine and Middle Eastern, et cetera. And I started kind of like going down those paths. I always had the Hispanic flavor and everything in me just by tasting, watching, and seeing my grandmother do these things every single day. So I knew it was always there, but I just wanted to kind of like round out and start exploring everything. So I started picking up cookbooks, learning different techniques, and then testing them out basically at the local tailgate where me and my friends would, we would be playing the New England Patriots, let's say. So we would make a paella and we would do like a New England clam chowder. So every time we would theme the tailgates to something else, so we're always switching up the menu.
So you're basically self-taught then, right? You didn't go to culinary school or any of that stuff.
With the hard knock school of thinking you should open a restaurant.
The hard knock school of feeding your drunk friends during depressing Miami Dolphins seasons.
Oh my God, don't start us. Don't even go there.
Hey, you beat upset of the week, beating the Falcons. You can't be too mad.
I mean, to me, it's already a lost season, so it's like okay, which was kind of like my entire like cooking career is like, well, the Dolphins are terrible, so we might as well cook good food.
All right. So, Otto, just bring the story forward just a little bit. All right, so you have this idea, you're going to start a restaurant based on your family's skewers.
Yeah.
When did burgers come into the mix?
So when we sat down at that barbecue and I said, look, let's open a restaurant. And the ideas were back and forth. Like, what would it be? I was like, I would love to sell my mom's grilled skewers. It's like, all right, cool. But what else are we going to put on the menu? And at the time, Five Guys was popular and it was growing. And then we all loved Five Guys. Like, oh my God, it's amazing. I was like, Five Guys, Quiznos, although may they rest in peace, Quiznos. And I said, you know what? Maybe we should do not just the skewers, right? Which in Miami we call them pinchos. It's like maybe we should do also like burgers and hot dogs. And then Nadal asked me, well, like, well, why? And I said, well, those are the foods that you find in the streets of South America. The streets of South America, the carts are hot dogs, grilled skewers, and burgers. And I was like, yeah, it'll be like this Latin American Five Guys. And that was the idea. I was like, we'll do these things, but when we built the menu. Not because we're these really incredible restaurateurs. It's the first time we've ever done this. We said, let's just do a really simple menu. So that way, if anybody walks in, whatever they order, they're like, holy crap, this was amazing. So we didn't want to have like the Cheesecake Factory effect. So we actually went with, I have the menu here right next to me. Actually, the first initial menu, we still kept it till today. It was three menu boards, and one board was just dedicated to the skewers, and you can pick which skewer that you wanted, and then what base and toppings. And then we had one burger. It was the Pincho burger, and then you can build your own burger. And then we had the third menu board that was fries and hot dog. And that was it. And we started that way, and it sort of it was like really flavorful food, but it skewed a little bit Middle Eastern, because we were Middle Eastern. So even our burger patty was seasoned like very like super strong, like Middle Eastern flavors. And I think when Adrian joined us year one, that's when our burger menu started graduating from being this Middle Eastern vibe to more of a Latin vibe. We didn't want the food to be super Middle Eastern. We're in Miami. We wanted it to be very Latin inspired. And then, if we're being honest, we started winning awards, and there was no kebab or skewer competitions in Miami. There's only burger competitions. So when we win an award, we're like, oh, maybe let's create another burger. Let's create another burger. And then the burger menu started growing primarily because that's how we would get invited to these competitions. And that's how we ended up with burgers and grilled skewers, or the burgers and kebabs.
All right, Adrian, talk about the evolution of the burger menu and just explain for Houstonians kind of the role that the, like Otto said, the South Beach Food and Wine Festival really played in growing the brand.
Yeah, definitely. So when I first came on board, like Otto said, like it was more of like a Middle Eastern, like almost like a kefta. Like you would take you would season the beef and then smash it
On the
on
flat
the
top.
flat top. So all the seasonings were mixed into the beef. I kind of helped move away from that. We created a proprietary seasoning blend. So we always said, okay, I don't think that a burger should just be salt. Like we want to create our own seasoning, our own flavor, which we did. Again, with kind of like a little Hispanic twist. And we said, let's move away from that. Let's do the beef. Let's place it on, and we're only going to season the outside of the beef, not the inside, which is where you get like that char flavor on the outside, and you still get that beefy flavor on the inside. We were invited, I remember, in 2014 to our first South Beach Wine and Food Festival
The Burger
and
Bash.
a Burger Bash. And we decided to compete with our Tostone Burger that year, right? So our Tostone Burger, again, this is where we're getting creative. Instead of buns, we used fried plantains as the bun. So we wanted to go kind of like with the creative side over there, and we had a good showing. But the following year, it was like, let's go again. It's like, no, we're switching the burger. We kind of like learned from what everybody else was doing, and we said we want to go creative. We're going to go even more creative. So what we did was we turned our burger into a croquette. So you had actually a patty that was a croquette with our beef inside, beef and parmesan. And then we topped it off with Swiss cheese, mayo, mustard, and pickles. So kind of like a Cuban croqueta preparada, prepared croquettes.
And
It's
that's what won. Okay. And that's how,
and
and that's
and
what won.
I'm telling you, like I was there and I was listening because it's all token voting. And all you heard was the clanking of tokens. And I was just like, what is that? I turned around, I go, are they voting for us? I'm like, yes, they're not stopping. I'm like, wow. So it was pretty insane. Even Rachel Ray, I remember she came over to
To our
our
booth.
stand, and she's like, oh my God, do you know the amount of work that went into this? I'm like, yes,
Yes, because I did the work. Yes, Rachel Ray, I know exactly how much work went into this. I think that's really smart, right? It kind of speaks to your creativity in the sense that obviously Miami has a huge Cuban population. People are predisposed to those flavors, but you gave it to them in a way that they'd never had it before. And so you kind of mix that innovation with the nostalgia. And so, in hindsight, it seems like a no-brainer, right? It seems like such an obvious thing.
Yeah, for us, as far as the flavors, it's again, like this is the part where you have to have fun with it, right? There's so many things you can do, just cheese, grilled onions, etc. Like have fun with it, right? Add some sweetness, add some smokiness, add some spice, etc. Like we like to, whether it's taking one item like a jalapeno and then, posting that out there as your main and then just going crazy with that one thing, or taking like an entire cuisine, like a Peruvian style or a Colombian style or whatnot, and then going on those flavors. It gets real fun kind of mixing and matching and putting all the ingredients. A lot of things, don't work, but a lot of things really hit, and you just create a new trend for those items.
I think what's very interesting for that competition is that for some of the folks that haven't heard of it, it's basically the Oscars of the burger world, right? You're getting 30 or 40 restaurants from around the country, some of them, a majority of them from Miami because it happens here. And we're on the sand in South Beach, 5,000 people, and you have to get these people to vote. Like the People's Choice Award is the vote. So we've won it. We won it the first time. And we broke the cycle. It was Bobby Flay and Michael Symon. Every year, it was just celebrity chefs because people naturally, they're like, oh, crap, look, Bobby Flay. They all line up because they want to meet Bobby Flay. And then naturally, they would vote for Bobby Flay. And then we broke that cycle in 2015, which was huge for us as a brand. It put us on the map, essentially, Eric. Like, everybody's like, who won? And they're like, Pincho. They're like, what is Pincho? And then we had two restaurants at the time.
Right. Then there's that curiosity about you beat Bobby Flay,
That
right? There's
literally.
a whole television show devoted to the concept of beating Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
And so from there, I'm sure that drove a lot of traffic to the stores.
Oh, man.
Let me just take a half a step back though, because at that point you were kind of ready for people. Tell me about like evolving kind of the stuff you were doing in the backyard, these your mom's recipe for the pincho into like something you could actually sell. Like how similar is it, or how did you sort of change it to make it more commercial?
So when we said, okay, let's open a restaurant, let's go for it. I met with Nadal and Nizar, which is our third co-founder, Nadal's little brother, and we said, okay, we need a menu. So mind you, the three of us have never worked, in the kitchen before. Nadal had a little bit. He had invested in a restaurant that our family ran, and he worked there for a bit. But we've never operated restaurants properly. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. But we knew customer service because we worked with our parents since we were kids. Middle Eastern. I'm pretty sure I started working with my dad when I was 12 years old, and so we met and we started taste testing. We went through 30 different buns until we picked the right bun for the burger. The different blends. We did like 20 different blends until we got to the blend. And we kept taste testing. Some of the stuff was terrible, some of the stuff was amazing, but the one constant was my mom's grilled kebab recipe. That the pincho was a constant because we knew it was a family recipe. On the burger side, we struggled a bit until we got it to where we wanted it to be. And then when we opened it, we struggled with the execution at first, but then because we made the menu so easy, it was like we got a good hang of it, like the first week of being open for business. And that's sort of how we, graduated from the family barbecue, family flavors to sort of making it into a proper menu that people can consume.
All right. And then Adrian, talk about the burger menu, because I know that you, like you said, you've got some creative stuff, you've got some traditional stuff. Like, I guess for people who haven't been there, like how do you explain what the burgers are like?
I mean, when I'm explaining the burgers, I start off always with our classic, right? Which is our Pincho Burger. It's our namesake burger, and that's our play on American classic. So that's kind of like the simplest you can get. American cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, onions. And then we give it a little bit of a Latin twist with potato sticks that we put on top, which you'll find a lot like in Colombian dogs or in Cuban fritas. And then our pincho sauce, which is
Ketchup, right?
like a mayo ketchup. Again, very popular in Colombian, Venezuelan cuisines or street food.
In Brazil as well.
And fine, Brazil too. So that's kind of like the base. From there, we just start evolving. And like, for instance, you have the tostone burger with the two plantains in the bun. It started off as a limited time offer. And then it was so popular that it made it onto the menu. If you look at our original menu, right, it was the Pincho Burger and the Custom Burger. So there was only two burgers. And then we kind of like went evolving that little by little as certain creations started gaining popularity. We kind of started adding certain things to the menu. So, we had a fritanga burger. So a fritanga is basically like a Nicaraguan eatery, like a food by the pound kind of place. So it's different toppings that you can find in a fritanga, hence the name. So queso frito, slaw, which is called repollo, and crema. So that makes up the toppings of the burger. And again, this is one of those things I think we're one of the first to
Yeah.
put queso frito or fried cheese on a burger, and it just blew up.
I think, well, Eric, what's really interesting about the story of the evolution of the brand is that we were this tiny brand that had no budget, and we were like in a little strip mall, 30 minutes west. We needed to get people's attention. So Adrian and Nadal back then sat down and said, okay, how do we get people to find out who we are? So every Tuesday they would do a new burger, right? They started with three sliders. Every Tuesday, three sliders. Every Tuesday, another new three sliders. And then for a whole year, they created three new sliders every Tuesday. And whatever people would be like, oh man, that was amazing. It would sort of graduate to the permanent menu. So basically, like the menu evolved based on just testing and tasting and just getting people to try a bunch of things. And then whatever was really popular became part of the menu. And then we moved from weekly to monthly. And that's why Pincho has now a monthly special. So every month we have a monthly special because of that. That's the old school DNA of the brand.
You can imagine after a year how all of a sudden you start introducing forced creativity, and somehow like watermelon appears on a burger and pears appear on a burger. It's like, wait, I don't know what to do.
Well, it's like, well, 150 different burgers in a year.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we all love Bob's Burgers, but that's a cartoon. No one actually does that in real life. And then you start looking at like, oh, well, in Australia they put beets on burgers, and you're like, that, like, all right, then that's one. But like, I don't know, just peanut butter banana, right? Like the
We've got an Elvis
right.
burger.
Did you have one that, like, was there one that was the worst failure?
Oh my
I,
God.
I'm always curious. Like, obviously we can see what's successful because we see what's on the menu, but was there one where you just did it and you were like, oh, this was a huge mistake?
I can think of one.
Which one?
The Parm burger.
Oh.
The Parm burger was like, it was tomato sauce, fried mozzarella
Yeah.
stick, and but the flavors just did not jam with our seasoning of our burger patty. It's so flavorful, right? Because it just doesn't go well with everything. But so that for sure was a big failure
Yeah,
for.
we had certain self-imposed constraints also earlier. So like we would have like beef pepperoni and turkey bacon instead of like the real stuff.
You
So
got what
like
happens if you have a Muslim
I
co-founder? We had
Right,
turkey.
you're trying to have a halal,
I
right?
was like handcuffing myself. I'm like, oh my God.
So obviously you find your audience, you start to grow the brand. When did you get involved with Savory Fund, this VC fund that's been helping you guys grow?
Yeah, I mean, it's so we opened the first store, and then year one was really difficult. Second year was, oh, really actually difficult. Third year was a hit. That's our break. And the third year, when we started winning awards, that's when Pincho took off. So we decided to open our second restaurant, which was in Coral Gables. And first year was a major hit. So now I quit my career. Now I was like, okay, I looked at my dad and my mom, and I'm like, okay, guys, we have two stores right now that are doing decent. They're okay in terms of revenue. I'm gonna quit my career and go help Nadal. And then we started growing, man. We started opening restaurants on our own, with different partners, different investors. And we got to around eight restaurants. That was before we met Savory. I met Savory in New York. Met Andrew and Taylor, Andrew Smith and Taylor DeHart in New York at a conference, and we had a great meeting. And but nothing came out of that meeting. We said, hey, let's just continue our conversation and be friends. And then they came to Miami, they tasted our food, they were blown away by the flavors. They're like, oh man, you got something really amazing happening. And I said, thank you. And then I went to Salt Lake City to meet with their team. And then COVID happened. And then COVID happened, like, right, I met them in 2019. COVID happened obviously in March of 2020. And then that sort of put a pause on our conversation, but we kept updating them on everything that we were doing. And early on, Eric, we had franchised. So I had, from those eight restaurants, some of them were franchised, and I was not happy. Everybody thinks franchising is amazing. I was like, oh my God, if I open a restaurant, I'm going to franchise the hell out of this thing and become the next McDonald's. But what you don't foresee is that some of your franchisees can be great operators, and some franchisees are not great operators. So I was of the mind, I went back to Adrian and everybody, to my partners before Savory, and I said, I want to buy all these restaurants back. I don't want to franchise anymore. I just want to find a partner that can help us with capital so I can buy all these franchisees out and just go back to controlling the experience from A to Z. Because employees matter a lot to us. We go above and beyond for our team. A franchisee, I can't do that to a franchisee's employee. I can't give people raises because they're not my employees. So that was one big reason. And then second, just consistency and quality. When you franchise, it's not that we start buying less, or like, a lower quality. No, it's just that consistency goes down. And that's why it's perceived as the quality goes down, but the quality of the beef is still the same. It's just that they're not operating it to the standards. So I said, let's go out and find a partner. And we found Savory. And then, like I said, COVID happened and we continued talking. But then in September of 2021, we partner up and Savory joined as our, capital partner. And I bought all of our restaurants back. So today we proudly own every single Pincho location. Mine is our licensed store that's inside of Florida International University and the one in Wynwood. Those are licenses with people that we trust and we know, but we stopped franchising because of that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like Shake Shack owns all of their stores, right? Like there are no franchise locations. And I mean, it seems like burgers and hot dogs and, even the chicken sandwich. I mean, that's seems like they're kind of one of your role models as you've kind of grown this business.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no like Pincho competition, so there's nothing to really like advertise, right?
Yeah, we're a
Or like,
category. Yeah, we're like leaders of a category,
yeah.
but we're the only ones. It's not like there's, no
Yeah,
one's.
because there are like Mediterranean like bowl concepts and stuff, right? Like the Cavas of the world, but you're not really swimming in the same pool that they are.
No, we are at the core a Latin-inspired kitchen. That's who we are, Latin-inspired kitchen, serving burgers, bowls, and plates, and chicken sandwiches.
So whose idea was it to come to Houston? Was that something you were interested in, or did Savory suggest it? And if they did, like what was your initial reaction when they're like, yeah, man, the way to like really prove this concept is Houston, Texas.
Yeah, it's funny. So there's actually two sides of the story. One, when we were franchising, a ton of people from Houston would always reach out to us. It was like at the top five cities in the US that would want Pincho to go there. And I'm assuming, in hindsight, like looking back at it, I'm assuming because there was a lot of Venezuelans that worked in Texas that lived in Katy. And then they'll visit Miami, they'll taste the food, and they'll be like, oh my God, this would crush it in Texas. I think that was really like probably the number one reason. And then second, Savory, when they did make the investment, they hired a company that did some sort of customer segmentation. Like it was like we geofenced every single restaurant in Miami, and then they figured out who is our core customer based on all these different data points. And lo and behold, Miami customers, like what, forget about their where they're from, but like what they look like in terms of spending habits, their political affiliation, all of the things that these companies track, they are very similar to the Houston crowd. Like a very big foodie city, very diverse. Although we're like Latin diverse, Houston's more internationally diverse. So Houston was at the top of the list. The list that came out at that time was Illinois, California, New York, and Texas. Those are the four. And then we said, okay, we're not going to go to California. It's too far. Very hard to do business there. New York was very intimidating.
Like
Illinois,
too expensive.
yeah, too expensive. Oh my God. Yeah. So Texas was like, okay, Houston's right there. We visited Houston first. We did a visit. We loved the vibe, the energy, and there was a lot of different cuisines. So it was like, okay, so this crowd right here is more than willing to taste the new food, and they're very, there's so many different types of food in Houston. I said, okay, a Latin-inspired fast casual would do great here, and we went there, and that was basically the real reason why we went to Houston. We wanted to prove out a second market, right? And then we said Texas is very similar to Florida, so let's go.
And then, I mean, how's it going? I mean, what's your, you've been here for what, about a year and a half, 2 years now, right?
Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years. It's not an easy market for an outside brand to be successful in. And I'll tell you why. Because there's so many good places. There's so many good options. And so we've been received extremely well. So shout out to the Houston community. We love you guys. Our scores are higher than Miami. So from a guest satisfaction, the Houston locations are doing phenomenal. But it is a grind, it is a grind. It's basically building the brand from the ground up. That's what you're doing. We're not a Shake Shack. So we don't have like a Shake Shack presence. Like whenever you open Pincho, nobody really knows who we are. So you still We underestimated the amount of effort that it would take to get the brand awareness going in the market to the point that me and Adrian moved there. So we're there like Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. That's been going on for like 2.5 months now, 2 months. And we're there, just meeting people, shaking hands, and getting the brand going because it is not an easy thing to do. But it's been amazing. It's been phenomenal. So we're very excited.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to come into the market with something like a burger where everybody already has a favorite burger. And so if they're gonna like you have to overcome that kind of basic instinct of, well, I feel like a burger, I'm just gonna go get my favorite burger wherever that is. I'm gonna try a new burger. I think it's I don't think once you get people in the door, I think you're probably okay, right? Because I think the food kind of speaks for itself, but it's getting them in the door. What is this? Where did it come from? Who are these people? I think that's the challenge.
That you're spot on. We talk to new customers all the time, and they were like, "Man, I can't believe I haven't been here." And I see you guys all the time, and I'm like, "Well, what's stopping you?" He goes, "Well, I see you guys all the time, but if I'm already going to this place, I'm going to that place. So whenever I go out, I already go to the places that I love. It's very hard for me to go and try a new place." So we get that all the time, and but now we're getting people saying, "This is one of the best burgers in Houston." Which is amazing, right? It's an honor. Like we already have a lot of people saying that, which is a really good thing. But again, we don't want to compete with people just on a burger level. We're Pincho, right? So we're not just this burger joint. We're Pincho. We're this Latin-inspired street food place, South American street food. So it's a little bit of a different vibe than just your typical burger joint.
Yeah, I would say right now, like getting the right mix of flavors is what our key goal is for Texas. The Texas consumer is, while similar, is a lot different than Miami consumer, right? So even going in with halal meats or the quantity that's served for the price, like we've seen that the Houstonian will pay a little bit more, but for a good amount of food. They don't mind paying a little bit extra, but as long as they're getting the right portion size. Miami is like, bikini seasons year round. Everything has to be a little bit smaller, their diets, and so you gotta be very conscious of the size of the stuff that you're giving everybody.
I'm laughing because right when we opened, Eric, I remember a guy, he was very nice. He left his a review, but like it's a nice review. He's like, I don't know who the owners are. I love the place, but they did not have iced tea. So if they don't get iced tea there in a week, they'll probably shut down in 30 days. He's like,
Well, I
what
mean,
guys opening without iced tea?
it sounds ridiculous, but yeah, this is like, in Houston and all of Texas, really, iced tea is like our birthright. Like you better have it, and it better be free refills. I mean, this is the minimum standard.
So you see us Floridians, we didn't know that. So
Well, it's two things. It's iced tea and the good ice.
and the good ice, the good
Oh
ice.
yeah, the Sonic ice. Yeah,
Yeah, the
you got the
Sonic
nugget.
ice.
The nugget ice, the pellet ice. Yeah.
But
All
it's
right. So what have you done to kind of meet those expectations of, adapting this concept to Houston?
So one of the things that we did to start off is, for instance, we introduced two different sizes to our bowls to
Two
kind
plates.
of bowls and plates. So to keep in line with our regular size, we said, okay, let's offer a small and then let's offer a regular. So we added two skewers, basically two meat skewers. And then what that allowed us to do, it actually allowed us to become more versatile and offer meat and poultry options, so like steak and chicken, or chicken and shrimp, or something like that, right? So you can actually now mix and match, which is crazy because it's something that people have asked for probably since the inception of the brand, and we never thought of doing that before.
So double protein. So more protein for sure was a big thing in Texas. They're like, hey, I don't care about paying more. Just give me enough food so I'm full. And Miami, as this is a beach town, so it's slightly different. And people like already get full with 4 ounces of protein. So now we're giving everybody an option of 6 ounces of protein, which is sufficient. And if you want to get more, since the skewers are smaller now because you get two, you can add a third skewer. And so we solved that, which now that was a great idea because now we're going to implement that in Miami. So there's one of these ideas of like, oh my God, it forced us to think differently. But man, that's actually a really smart idea. Let's just bring it back to Florida. So that was a good change for sure.
Yeah, and then on the burger side, we haven't done it yet, but we're kind of creating like a core Texas menu and a core brand menu, right? So we have our top three burgers that we're going to be keeping, but then we have three burgers that have been requested a lot since we've been in there. And you know, they've come on as an LTO, as you know, some kind of a different offering or whatnot. And we want to bring those in and incorporate those into the traditional menu.
And then you have four Houston area locations, right? So have you noticed some differences between, your Memorial City location versus your Conroe location versus your Katy location?
Yeah, we the customers are different, and the price tolerance is also different. So in Memorial, you'll never get anyone batting an eye on price. But then when you go deeper in the suburbs, price is plays a big factor, right? So which is fair, I mean, it is what it is. That's the reality. But in the suburbs, we get compared to Whataburger a lot, which we're not in the same category, right? We're not a fast food place. We're a culinary driven fast casual restaurant. And I think because people see like our units being small, because we don't have these massive restaurants like a Hopdoddy does or a Velvet Taco. Like, those are bigger restaurants, so people assume that we're fast food, and we're not. So for sure, that's I think the number one thing. This was interesting the other day. We launched the Spicy Rodeo Smashburger, and in Cypress, it didn't do that well. People are getting the non-spicy one, and then in Memorial, all they're ordering is the spicy one. So there's different palate changes between Cypress and Memorial. But I think those are the two things: price and spice level sensitivities between both. Even though they're both Texas, both Houston.
Wait until we see what's coming.
All right, and then you said that you've been spending more time in Houston. Like, what have you kind of learned about the city that maybe you didn't know before you started
Oh,
kind of
man.
living here or almost living here?
I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. I actually wrote it down the other day, so this is fresh in my brain, because I was writing, okay, what has been true so far? I think we've underestimated a few things, but I think these are all great. It's all great feedback. One, Houston really cares about local a lot more than we thought. So people look at us and they think we're this massive chain, and then they're surprised to meet us, and they're like, wait, what? Otto, you're the owner? I'm like, yeah, I'm the owner, one of the founders. And he's like, wait, it's like, I thought this was like a massive chain. I was like, no, man, like this is a family-owned business. I have an investor. But and then they automatically want to support us even more, which is insane. And it's awesome, dude. Like, it's the best feeling. It's like, dude, I didn't know this was the chain, family-owned restaurant. I thought it was a chain. It's like, just because I know you now, I'm gonna support you more. So I think that was one thing that made us realize, man, maybe we overly designed our restaurants. We should have been a little bit more local vibe and local feel, which is what Pincho in Miami is. Pincho in Miami is like, it's very rustic. It's very like, pallet wood, like the pallet wood walls with the lights. And then in Texas, we said,
Let's go bright.
let's go bright. Let's go a little bit more Miami. So maybe that would attract people. And I think in hindsight, we should have just stuck to who we were versus trying to be something that we're not. So I think that was one. Second, man, you guys are so community driven, like way more than I thought it was going to be. And it's amazing, to the point that I even told my wife I want to move to Texas because I love community. So like, it's a very community driven place. Everybody rallies for each other. Everybody goes, it's just everybody's very nice. So I realized that being a company-owned store and not having presence of the founders there and being part of the community, it's almost impossible to grow in that market. Like, you gotta go show up to the community and give back. And which is something that comes natural to us, because in Miami, that's what we do. But being here and having our managers there on their own doing that, it's like exponentially harder. So I think that was it. And then third, you are a lot more flavor forward than I anticipated you guys to be. But if you go in the suburbs, it's not the same. So like, Memorial location would be like, yes, let's go crazy burger, go nuts. But then you go to Cypress, they'll be like, no, I want like a barbecue, smash burger, sure, but like with barbecue sauce, just as plain as it can be. So it's very different because it's so big. When we do marketing in Cypress, it does not land in Conroe at all. That's 1 hour, is completely different market. So So I think those are the top three. I don't know if I covered everything.
That's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
The I think the nicest thing that I've seen is that you guys actually have seasons, which is awesome.
No,
We
we
don't.
don't. That's not true.
You
That's not true. I mean, no, that every East Coast transplant, you know, like from New England or whatever, will tell you that we do not have seasons. It gets cold here for like 3 weeks, and everybody has that
that's
one,
how Miami is.
all the women have one fur coat that they wear.
That's similar. That's similar in Miami, but like I went over there this recent like month or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh wow, it's 69 in the morning. This
Yeah.
is such nice fresh air. It
Yeah.
gets hot, but still, it's like
Yeah.
it's that nice breeze in the morning and at sunset that it's like, oh wow, this is nice. And I
Yeah.
think this is why your event season starts earlier than ours. So like yours starts in like September, October, whereas ours doesn't start until December.
Yeah. It's
Yeah,
weird.
that's right.
We keep
That's
saying
right.
ours, but we basically live in Houston now. So like when we say ours, are we talking about Houston or are we talking about
I can't wait next week. This week I'm pulling my boots and my cowboy hat and I'm ready to
Yeah.
go.
Yeah. I'm about to jump on the flight right now. I'm in Miami now, but I basically leave at 7 p.m. back to Houston tonight.
All right. And then what are your future plans for Houston? I mean, you have the four locations. I mean, you know, Conroe is kind of pushing the boundaries of what I consider Houston, but I recognize it gives you access to kind of the Woodlands too. So, like, what's the dream scenario? How many Pinchos do you think Houston can support?
At first we had these really big thoughts about maybe getting to 10 restaurants in Houston. But now that I've been there, I think less is more right now. I think right now it's just building that local love, building community, getting just like we don't want it. Now that we know that you don't want to feel like a chain, we don't want to be that. We don't want to be a chain. We want to be a local neighborhood joint. We want people to really like come in and know who we are, know the people, know the managers, know the team. We've been very lucky with the team there right now. We've like Mandy, she's our area coach there. She opened the restaurant 2 years ago and she's been promoted from manager all the way to area leader. So it's just about quality over quantity right now. And it's just building up the current restaurants that we have. I think we were humbled in the last 2, 3 months by really understanding the market. Like being there really changed our view on how we need to approach the market. And I think right now less is more. So it's not about let's open 10. I think it's how do we become Eric's favorite burger joint? How do we become, so and so's? I think that's what we want to do. But we want the community, the same thing that we did in Miami. We want the community to feel part of the brand. Like I'm not kidding. When people like when we were doing that weekly three burgers, people felt like they built Pincho because they chose the burgers that will stay on the menu. So that's a crazy feeling that I think, man, can we copy that feeling and give that to Houston? Can Houston, can we create the H-Town burger and have that be chosen by the community? And I think that's what we want to focus our efforts now.
Well, good. I have to say that does bring me to the end of my questions. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you would like to discuss?
Ooh, I think we discussed everything. I do, I get this
Oh,
question.
wait, I did want to ask you what you're partnering with Sean the Food Chief on a burger omakase. So
Oh
just
yeah. Are you
talk about
coming
that
for a
for
while? Are you coming or what? You have to
I
come.
what day is it? I'm sorry.
Is this Thursday? Come by.
No, I'm not. I have dinner. I have unbreakable dinner plans on Thursday. I'm sorry.
By the way, I follow you on Instagram and like you go to the coolest places. Like I keep seeing all these pictures and I'm like, how? Like it's insane. I'm
There
learning.
was a Reddit thread. I was like, some guy's like, how does he do it? Like, does he pay for all the meals? Like, it's like, look, like just mind your own business. I pay for a lot of my meals. I spend a lot of money on tips. Don't worry about it. Just mind your own business, Reddit.
I wasn't really asking from that perspective. It was more like, man, how do you get to taste so much food? I'll be like, man, I can't do this. We went out the other day. Sorry, we went to Nancy. What was it called? Nancy's Hotel.
Nancy's.
Dude, it was amazing. It was like the best pancakes. I don't know what they were called. Those
Oh,
cakes.
the Nancy cakes. Yeah,
My
with
God,
the trout roe. Yeah, that's a great dish.
that was amazing.
It's a
But
good burger too, by the way.
yeah, that's why we
Awesome
went.
burger.
That's why we went. We
Amazing
went there to
burger.
have the burger, and we ended up. I think one thing that a lot of people in Houston ask us all the time. So just want to set the record straight. What does the word pincho mean? right? Everybody's like, what is pincho? And it's not to be confused with pinche, because it's not the same thing. So pincho is the Spanish word for skewer. That's what pincho is. So a lot of people, so you know, it's, if you're out there figuring out, like, why do they call it pincho? Well, because that's the word for skewer. And that's why, you know, the whole story behind it was my mom's grilled kebabs, the skewers that started the whole thing, and that's why we called it pincho. But that's the last one.
Well, as far as a collab with Sean the Food Chief, we will be debuting a brand new burger at the Omakase, and then I think we're gonna have it for the rest of November.
Yeah, Sean's spicy burger. He
Sean Spicy Burger.
was very particular about the level of spice. I can't eat that burger, but hey, it's his call.
I was coming in originally like at a fire, like I don't know if you've been to Langford's and had their firehouse burger. So I was kind of coming
Really?
at that heat level. And he's like, no, this is like a three. I'm like, okay, are you sure?
That is as spicy. Like, I've had the Firehouse Burger at Langford. That is as spicy a burger as I personally want to eat.
Yeah.
If it's
Really?
spite
like I know that like Burger Chan has the ghost pepper flakes and some of the other things that they do to make a really, really spicy burger. I respect people who want to eat food that's spicy. I am not that person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just in creating the sauce, like I was researching Texas, I found that you guys have a native pepper, which is chipotle. I think it's
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So we incorporated that into the sauce, and that's what gives it the heat.
There
Uh,
you go.
but it's gonna be amazing flavor forward burger with just some heat on the end. Got poblano peppers, shallots, jalapenos, cheddar cheese, and double smash patty.
Nice. Before I let you go, we have to play the lightning round.
Let's do
Five
it,
easy
man.
questions, five short answers. You just say the first thing that comes to mind. Otto Othman, I'm going to start with
I'm gonna
you.
start with me. All right.
What is your favorite ingredient?
Truffle.
Adrian, how about you?
Garlic.
Adrian, what is the first band you ever saw in concert?
Rush.
Otto?
Man, I forgot their name. I forgot their name.
That's
All
oh,
right. All
drummer
right.
from Rush.
Forgot their name. No. Yeah, I'll think of it right now.
All right, Otto. Pincho isn't a fast food restaurant, but everybody gets fast food eventually. So, what is your fast food guilty pleasure? It has to come from a restaurant with a drive-through.
Dude, the freaking chicken quesadilla from Taco Bell. That's my go-to.
Adrian, how about you?
Oh, I got chicken McNuggets.
All right, Adrian, who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Ray Lewis.
Otto, how about you?
Has to be Pelé.
All right, Otto, and then last question. What is the one Houston restaurant that you wish were in Miami?
Oof, that's not
Oh my
fair.
God, that is not
You
fair,
better not
dude.
take my answer.
As of now, Nancy's Hustle. Nancy Hustle. Jesus. That was amazing.
All right, Adrian, how about you?
For me, it was Matt.
Oh, Mad. Okay.
That's a
Yeah,
good
Mad's
answer.
great. Mad's great.
All right. Otto, give us the website and the social media for Pincho.
Yeah, so it's dincho.com, which is PINCHO.com. And then our Instagram is at Pincho.
All right. Well, gentlemen, this was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Awesome.
Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.